So, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We're coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. We are on the precipice of 2020, I guess, or the precipice of 2021. I don't actually know how precipices work or if precipices is the plural of precipice. But whatever, the fucking year's almost done. So we're going to do a little like wrap up to the year and a looking forward to 2021 just to try to get a grip on what the fuck happened this year. This is a continuation of the previous episode, a conversation with Al Ghost Cat from Cop Out and Trashy and Leftover Crack and Choking Victim and his delightful, brilliant partner, Casey. They came on the last episode in large part to talk about our dear friend, Alec Bailey, and to grieve him and to mourn him and to talk about all of this grief that we have dealt with, or maybe we haven't dealt with, but in the last episode of Dispatches, we were trying to start processing some of this grief. 2020 was such a year of grief, and in moving forward in 2021, we don't want to forget all of that pain. We don't want to ignore all that pain, but I think it's time that, you know, as 2021 approaches, we start moving through it. So last episode, we started to deal with it. We started to confront it. We started to talk about some of the just like weird ways in which grief has overcome us and the tremendous loss that 2020 brought to all of us and, you know, continues to bring to all of us in a lot of different ways. We wanted to memorialize our dear friend and also talk about grief. And in the second half of that conversation, we wanted to talk about moving from this year of grief into 2021 and what that would look like. And this conversation spilled over and got a little long, so we continued it onto this episode. If you want to hear the beginning of this conversation, please go back and listen to episode 401 on dispatchfromtheunderground.com. I don't know if anything is like necessary for you to like understand where we are. This isn't like a sequel or something like that, but it is a continuation. So I think it is a delightful episode and they're delightful people. And there's a lot of perspective to be had on that episode. So please go back, check out that episode. On this episode, we are preparing for 2021. We're going to be doing some predictions. We're going to be talking about what is ahead of us. There's a little bit of a summation on a more meta level or like an abstract level and less emotional level of 2020. And just getting a grip on where we're headed to. And I'm very happy to have Al and Casey on the episode with me today to try and do that. I can't think of anybody better in this entire world to be planning for the future with than these two incredible human beings. Thank you, Al. Thank you, Casey, for coming all the way from a very far distance to help me finish this year off strong and head into this new year with some good plans. So let's get to it. But before we do that, I want to listen to some music. All of the music that we play in this episode is going to be music that was released in 2020, music that we released, but also music that some close friends released, and fantastic tunes that sadly not enough people got to hear because of the pandemic and because we couldn't tour. This first tune is from our band Cop Out. That's the band that me and Al are both in. We released a split record with our good friends in Ground Score from Portland, Oregon. The split was called Hindsight 2020, 7-inch split. You can get it still. Go to dispatchesfromtheunderground.com, go to the merch section. We still have some 7-inches for sale, so please go and check that out. This is the first tune off of that split. It's called Abandon. It was also featured on a new punk rock frequency playlist that's on Spotify with some other incredible bands. If you're looking for a bunch of new bands to listen to, go check out New Punk Rock Frequency on Spotify. It's a sick playlist. But this is a song called Abandon, and I think it speaks for itself. The lyrics are pretty fucking clear, and I feel like it's a good thing for those of us who are kind of getting stuck in our ways and can't figure out how to move forward with some of the baggage that we grew up with. This is a good song to help us get a grip. It's called Abandon from our band Cop Out. Get down.
This is
this has been arguably the worst year in human history without an actual nuclear weapon being discharged on human beings.
It is sort of incredible how bad this year has been, though.
And again, like, I know people are out there being like, oh, you don't know what's bad and how bad it's been for other people. Yeah, fair enough. I am not another person. I don't know how bad it's been for other people. And obviously, there are people who've been suffering refugee crises for, you know, endless amounts of time. And people are in other places who've had to deal with horrible tragedies. But in our petty, shitty little lives, this has been a horrible fucking year. Yeah. So fuck you and your, like, grief radar or whatever the fuck I have to gauge my own pain on. This has been an awful fucking year. Casey just gives the mic back and be like, I don't want to fucking even be on this show. What the? Did he just make fun of refugees? What the fuck is wrong with him? And don't even actually reflect his all the time. Anyway, this has been an awful fucking year, and I feel like we should start right now in December and start looking ahead to the future to what will almost certainly be a wonderful year next year. Like, what could happen?
Well,
what could go bad?
Not to be a downer.
Wow.
I do think that some of the awfulness of 2020 will carry through a lot of 2021. I don't think that our lives are going to get demonstrably better until the summertime.
Or I mean, I guess you could talk about that if you want to. I was thinking we could, like, bring people up into a better possible future, but I guess, like, let's get ultra realistic and painful, Alan.
Sorry about it.
Okay.
Well,
no,
well, I think that, I mean, I do think that, like, when we as humanity can get our collective shit together and stop breathing disease into each other's faces, and we're back, I think people will appreciate things more. I think that, like, you know, I mean, you see the memes online that's like, oh, you can't stop going now? Just pretend that someone invited you to their show.
I don't see these memes. What is this meme?
It's like saying that people can't stay their asses inside, but LOL, no one ever went to like local music concerts. Local music concerts. Oh, father of two cats. Thank you.
People like sending around shitty memes, like saying like how much of a joke it was to not come to our shows before the pandemic, and now they're like lamenting that they can't go to shows.
Essentially.
That they wouldn't go to anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
But I do think that like people hopefully will feel more, the word I'm wanting to say is gracious, but that's not the word that I'm meaning to say. We'll feel like more, I think people will be more, God, what
appreciative?
Am I appreciative. More similar to the word I'm thinking of. I'll remember it in an hour from now, and then I'll think about it all night.
I can just edit it and don't worry.
Yeah. When I'll call you on the phone later.
What was that word?
Remember. Yeah.
There it is. Perfect. I'll just edit it right there. Don't worry.
I think interactions will feel, people will have more gratitude for them when we're able to hang out in a way. I mean, I guess people in Florida, not to talk about Florida again, are still hanging out, and they're like, fuck it. People in Florida and people in Ohio are just living their lives. Rich folks, I guess, are having a fine time too.
For the most part, you're not going to drum up sympathy for people in Florida dying on this body. Like, no, like literally one of the most hated places on earth.
I'm not even aiming to do that because fuck Florida. Yeah. I'm just saying that, like, for us experiencing this abject misery, not everyone's experiencing that because some people are pretending like it's all cool beans.
Yeah.
And folks, it is not cool beans. Folks. To borrow a phrase. But I do think that, like, I will be more, you know, I'll be more appreciative of being able to hang out. I know this doesn't apply to you, Joey, but Casey and I have been lamenting, like, not being able to, like, meet friends at a bar. It would be nice to, like, get out of our apartments.
To be fair, Al's point is that I'm not actually a friend of anybody. Not that I don't like bars.
I also think that Al was saying that he wanted to get away from me, too. So don't feel too bad.
We're not going to go too deep into Al's thoughts here. We're going to try to, like, just get down with him without getting too deep in him there.
I know that you're making fun of me, but I just want to clarify that Joey doesn't like bars because he is sober.
Yeah. And also hate fun. So two things that happen in
Joey America. Likes fun. Yeah. He doesn't tell you about it. You won't know.
It's not public knowledge.
You'll learn it on his podcast 6 months later. And in this version of the future, I would be at this bar with Casey, which is why I mentioned that we've been lamenting that together. So just to be clear, I'm not a total monster.
They're fighting over the microphone.
I just really wanted people to feel bad for me for a minute, too.
I just want to say, like, no one could see this because we're in the middle of
a
fucking woods or whatever right now recording this podcast to be 6 feet apart. But when Al said, I'm not a total fucking monster, and then Casey lunged for his face to get the microphone, and he immediately went into, like, a karate stance, like fucking, like, a horse pose to, like, punch her and be like, no, you can't have the fucking mic.
Yeah.
I'm sitting.
There was a little bit of exaggeration there, but it's mostly true. The essence of it was true.
Yeah.
2021, people will be more appreciative of the fact that they can go out and like see and interact with human beings. So there'll be more kindness. I'm going to counter that, Al, with I feel like people have been hidden away from them.
Difficult and combative.
Yes, you are. But I think people have been hidden away and have been so comfortable being hidden away that they're going to have a hard time like interacting again. And it's going to be like a weird, awkward thing to like start interacting again. And I'm afraid a little bit of a backlash of what you're saying is going to happen. And I also think that people have like needed to be entertained, including me. I'm not saying like bad thing for other people. 24 hours a day during this, that it's going to be hard to like go out to like, you have to get to, it takes 20 minutes to get to the bar. Okay, well, how can I watch House for those 20 minutes getting to the bar? So like, why would I even leave the fucking house?
You do have a smartphone, right,
yeah.
Joey?
Yeah, no, it's kind of smart. It's not that smart. It's like high school smart. It's not that.
I don't disagree with you on that. I think too. You know, when I find a new job, I haven't done anything for 10 months, like except for watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey for all day long. And I'm like, that doesn't count for a job. Oh, yeah. The West Wing, too. A political show.
You think Real Housewives of New Jersey isn't political?
That's
like,
true.
Let's hold on a second here.
Good point.
New episode. Stop this shit. We're recording a new one about The Real Housewives.
I totally
and the real truth.
On that podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's fucking do it.
But I do think, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of time where people need to relearn things. But I think that people will be excited to see one another again and feel community and share space with people. I am concerned that maybe not necessarily in New York, because I think that New York, or at least New York City, people have been... They remember how bad it was, at least initially. So I am
the pandemic.
Yes, the pandemic. And I am concerned that once this vaccine starts coming out, that people might not take the necessary precautions that are still needed.
What precautions do we need after a vaccine?
Right, Joey. You're the problem. You're gonna have to. Well, not everyone's going to have access to the vaccine.
Okay.
Right away.
You know, not my problem.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Are you from Florida?
We've all taken a very Florida outlook on this pandemic, everybody. It is party all the time and no medicine ever. 100% Florida. Penicillin. What's that?
Penicillin.
Oh, yeah. Penicillin in Florida. Yeah,
you need penicillin in Florida.
Penicillin and alligators, and you got a good time coming. All right.
Well, things aren't going to – I think to Casey's point, things aren't going to bounce back. It's not like everyone's going to get inoculated and flip a switch. Like, you'll still need to distance. We'll still need to wear masks for a while. Or we should. I don't know if we will, because we aren't doing that yet. So let's see what happens. But, I mean, in order for –
Oh, you guys are fucking bummer, dude. I wanted to hear like positive fucking
– First of all, I was trying to be positive, and then you shit on my opinion.
I don't think so. It's fucking recorded,
so.
Dude.
It's recorded. So press one if you agree that Joey shit on my opinion, and press two if you agree. But I'm looking forward to everyone being as uncomfortable in social interactions as I am. I think 100% of the time, whenever I've gone out, I feel uneasy about at least one thing that I've done or said because I am concerned that I looked like a weirdo. So when everyone's feeling like a weirdo, I think that I'll finally shine. I'll have found my moment. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know. I mean, I can see both sides, and I guess we won't really know. But I do think that people are like really hungry for interaction that isn't just like with their roommates and their television. And even if that ends up backfiring in very short order because people are short-sighted and selfish, we'll have 1 week where everyone's like really jazzed to go to a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that 1 week will be kings.
I mean, there's been so much. It's going to take a while for us, even after we have a vaccine, to like flush out exactly how bad 2020 actually was. So like, I think a lot of 2021 is going to be us like coming to the realization of just how bad it got. Right. So, I mean, people talked about like an uptick in possible births. I don't think that's true because everyone's afraid to go to the fucking hospital to give birth.
Well, I read an article last week in the Atlantic, I think it was the Atlantic, about how there is already a decline in birth. There's a baby bust happening right now, and they think that that will continue because intentional births are down because people lost their jobs or they're scared to go to seek medical attention. I mean, in my personal experience, I see a lot of my breeder friends pumping out children, so it's not my lived experience of that. Mm. I'm not seeing a baby bust. I'm seeing people selfishly overpopulating the world. feel free to at me in 5 years if Casey convinces me to have a child with her through the magic of science.
I think also we're going to see a lot of people who were like looking for partners. I've seen this with a few people who haven't been able to find them because there's been a year of like being unable to date or whatever else. So they have, you know, they want to have children, but they can't. And so they're not putting themselves. So we're going to see like a little bit of a baby bust for like maybe 2 more years, right? Yeah. Because people who are sort of like in a place. Plus, I mean, I feel like if you've made it through this pandemic with your partner, I'm sure things have been difficult for you. At least I'm sure my beautiful wife has had a hard time dealing with me. And I can't imagine her, like, I can't imagine anybody who's wanting to have children with their partner at this point, you know, like if you were like on the
I've had enough of you. The idea of having another half of you running around shitting in my house,
totally, right?
It's a bridge too far.
I feel like there's no people who could possibly want more people. I mean, more people in their homes at this moment. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think especially too in the beginning of the pandemic when everyone was locked inside their homes, everyone's like, "Oh, do you know how hard it is for me? I'm home with my husband and my 4 kids," and it's like, "Well, I'm glad I only have 2 cats." And
sorry you made that mistake.
Yeah. Not to say that having children is a mistake.
To get a husband.
Yeah, it certainly is a mistake. That's fine. We are coming at it from a very particular perspective here. And we all agree. I feel like everyone on this podcast agrees.
But
although
also,
some people
on
who listen to this podcast were at one point children, so maybe they disagree.
Is that
a fact? Yeah, I think so.
Oh, it's weird.
Weird. Stupid.
Maybe
actually,
that's a problem.
Pretty dumb. Pretty dumb.
But I do think, yeah, I mean, right? I think that they're... Obviously, there already are people that are really suffering from not having any more government assistance monetarily. And I think that if that doesn't happen again, you know, that's going to be something that carries into 2021 pretty hard.
Casey, we were having fun making
can we talk about...
No, but this is a good point. This is a really good point because there, no one has a fucking job. No one has money. You don't have a job. I don't have a job.
Right.
I don't have a job.
Yeah.
None of us have
three
jobs.
Three no jobs.
And I have... no fucking idea how we're going to pay even like the most minuscule bill in the very near future. I also don't care. I'm very comfortable living in a dumpster.
Sure.
I just have to lower my wife's expectations to being okay with
that.
She
can live with us.
She
can?
We'll
take her in, yeah.
Oh, we're good
Absolutely.
To go.
Yeah,
I just need a fucking...
You can come by and have a tubby anytime you want.
I'm good.
Oh, okay.
I'm good. You think I'm not going to have a fucking tub in my dumpster?
Yeah, that's true.
It's crazy. I don't fucking have the most looking.
Yeah.
But
rainwater.
There's going to be serious... Yeah, I mean, part of me, I guess it's like, I don't know, the idiot in me or like the optimist or the extreme pessimist, I can't tell which one it is, sees these economic problems and be like, okay, like maybe everybody who's like below the halfway point at least has like leveled out and been like, poverty is a reality for the next 10 years for so many more people now.
Absolutely.
And maybe then things can change because there's like no middle ground anymore for people to claim that they're going to lose their house. They're going to lose their fucking house if they had one. Like, and they might have already lost it. And like, you know, people who rent in this city, because no one owns their apartment in the city, like unless you're rich,
right?
Like, you don't own your apartment. So they will be thrown out of their apartment. They will be evicted in the next 6 months. We're going to have tens, maybe even hundreds of thousands of evictions.
I mean, there's already a housing crisis in New York City and probably a lot of major cities. I mean, compound that with a mass eviction wave, which like hopefully doesn't happen, but I think it's already happening in parts of the country. It seems inevitable.
Part of that seems to me like almost filled with potential. Like,
right.
Obviously it's a horrible situation for people, but like then people don't have the illusion that they're part of some fake middle class.
You can't
bullshit.
Ignore it at that point.
Something. Maybe I'm looking at the silver lining that doesn't exist here. You know,
well, something that you and I have talked about a lot on tour is that, especially when we're in the Midwest or like parts of the country that are full of backwards idiots. Sorry to Kansas, I guess, but. Is that when you're stuck in the everyday, all day toil of like bare minimum capitalism, you don't have any time to think. And I think this is really ground all of society to a halt. And I think you're seeing these like more progressive ideas reach mainstream acceptance because people they can't just throw themselves into their bullshit work and they can't just go out and like buy a thing to like fill whatever void there is inside of them. People are sitting at home and staring at the housewives of wherever, and they're like, on the commercial breaks, they're like maybe considering things, or like thinking about things they've never thought about before. Even if that thought is a fleeting, like, you know, how I mean, at what point in our lifetime had some deep red conservative person from the Midwest, like, even considered the defund the police platform?
Yeah.
Those people, I think, are considering it in a way where they think it's feasible or smart, but they're thinking about it, and their children are hearing those things. I mean, sort of like what we were talking about earlier, that I'm not going to rehash in the podcast because it's private, but it's like, you expose – the adults are maybe lost, but you expose kids to a concept they're not familiar with, and they think it's like – interesting or exciting, and then like it might be too late. I mean, some of them will become young Republicans, but they're all going to give each other COVID in New Jersey. So
yeah.
So hopefully it resolves itself. I don't mean to make light of all the deaths, so I'm sorry I said that.
It's hard for us not to joke about it because it's so like painfully true that it's hard not to at least like laugh a little bit about it.
But when you have, you know, CNN or like, you know, mainstream media or even Fox News talking about defund the police, or like talking about these concepts, even if they're talking about them in like a bad faith or a shitty way, they're still talking about them. And families, conservative families who have Fox on all the time, their kids are still in the background learning about these things and like seeing Tucker Carlson be an asshole and thinking like, let me look into this. Like, where, you know, this is hopefully radicalizing a whole generation of young people who will be the majority of people soon.
Yeah. Okay, I want to take another break. I want to listen to another tune. This is a tune from our good friend Days and Days. They put out an album called Show Me the Blueprints. It was their first album on Fat Wreck. And I just think that this is a fucking fantastic album. But also, I went back and listened to the whole album and trying to figure out which song I wanted to play. I wanted to play something I hadn't played before. And I'm going to play a song that I have played before because I just think this fucking song is so spectacular. And I think it is very true for 2020. And I think it's it's like one of the songs of the year. It's a fantastic fucking tune. It's called Saboteurs. And there's a line in it that I think resonates. It's, I just want to be okay, but I feel stuck. I just want to be okay, but I feel stuck. I think when you get to it, you're going to pause it and rewind it and listen to it again because it's so fucking good. I just want to be okay, but I feel stuck. Here's Days and Days with Saboteurs. Get down.
Chance to experience firsthand all the culture and the beauty of the state. But when we arrived, I couldn't bring myself to leave the car. Stayed locked away with my guitar, and while the others studied the mountains and the rivers, I just stared down at my fretboard pad and pen. Lately I've been struggling to conjure up a band-aid for this problem that is freshly manifested in my brain. It seems as though I've grown a light switch deep within the recess of my psyche when it flip renders me borderline insane. It's like 10 seconds ago everything was fine and dandy, but now everything is fucked and there ain't no rhyme or reason for my season. I just wanna be okay, but I feel stuck. Always on the road, so one year we organized a trip we'd take to Lake Tahoe. Place we'd been when I was younger, all the memories are golden. But when we arrived, I found myself down at the bar, blackout drunk and seeing stars. While my loved ones all played board games by the fire, I did drink myself within an inch of death. I'm no stranger to mistakes, it feels like every step I take I trip myself up, can't get out of my own way.
I'm by far my harshest critic and a cynic, too neurotic to accept that sometimes shit is just okay. There's always gotta be some problem I alone must solve, but that just ain't the case at all, cause I got friends and family, but my worst enemy is me, and me just can't escape my end. Cause I was born to sabotage myself, that's on me and no one else. I'm a human grenade and I'm good at pulling my own pin. You can blame it on my mental health, addiction, stress, and anything else. All it boils down to is I'm an asshole with a loud mouth and a system of support I don't deserve.
Look, 2020 has been awful, but at the same time, we have seen a huge conversation about, obviously since 2016 we've seen this, but also continuing to 2020, people continue to talk about misogyny, continue to talk about like the way, different people in our society are repressed and oppressed. We had a huge Black Lives Matter movement that has reemerged this year and has had gigantic protests. People burned down police precincts and actually got the government in Minnesota to talk about and implement some defunding of actual police. The mayor of Minneapolis was talking about defunding the police, like as a real possible platform. That is so far beyond a possibility. And I think it has validated what a lot of people have been saying, is like, we have to take ideas to the extreme because they're always going to be demonized by the right and the moderates if we don't take them to those extreme places. And like when it was just, we were just talking about Black Lives Matter, Tucker Carlson and Fox News were demonizing Black Lives Matter. But now we're talking about defunding the police and abolishing the police, and Fox News and even mainstream news sources are joking and laughing at the idea of abolishing the police or defunding the police. It's kind of tragic that they're laughing at it, but now they're at least engaging Black Lives Matter. So, like, you know, we've, like, moved the entire spectrum over to, like, a place that important ideas are being engaged a little more. So while 2020 has been awful, and I know it's painful to, like, look for silver lining in people's pain when it's, like, real pain, people are, like, losing real things and lives are being lost. But at the same time, I feel it's important for us to see that maybe it had to go to these uncomfortable places for people to grapple with those new ideas and for them to be like, all right, I don't just want to be comfortable and like pop out 10 kids and live in a, you know, 2-floor house and like just get by.
Yeah.
Like, better than some poor person in some other country.
I think that people have a really hard time understanding things unless they experience something, right? You don't really live outside of your own experience. And I think that so many people were impacted by COVID and all of the things that happened over the summer, you know, all the killings of Black people in a very, not that it wasn't public already, but like, I think, you know, it just cast the spotlight where everyone was home and people were watching things and being more aware and had more time. Mm. But I think that that is something that will be felt, to your point, right? I think so many people have been felt or feel neglected by their government, this administration. And I am hopeful that younger people or people who feel frustrated will, you know, start to elect people that they feel like are really going to represent them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I love AOC so much. I think that she does a really great job of being a true liaison for her constituents. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm hopeful that more people will start to get into politics and in those spaces and will be elected to represent people because they feel like there's no one that's there in the government right now too.
So are we saying, like, in essence, because 2020 was so bad, people were stuck inside. Now in 2021, people are going to go outside, maybe or maybe not. Like, I don't want to rehash that one either, but maybe or maybe not. But like, 2020 was not terrible in terms of politics. People became radicalized and conscious in like a wave maybe never before seen in this country, at least so quickly. So is 2021 going to be less so? Like, people are going to be less engaged? They're going to revert back to their old selves and they're going to be like, eh, America's great. Like, whatever. We got a new president. Like,
I hope not. And I think that's a lot of people are fearing that because Biden won and it's, you know, not this horrible person that's in office anymore. Not to say that Biden is like the be all and all going to save everyone, but I think that people will become more lax because things aren't as scary as they were. So I hope that's not the case. I hope that people still continue to challenge him and fight for their more radical representation. But I think those are things that we need to stay mindful of, and we need to make sure that we, and once we're able, like once Cop Out is able to start touring again, right? You guys talk about a lot of,
we'll probably rekindle all the good stuff, you know? So it's like all kind of put on hold and to see what we do.
Right. Yeah. We're waiting for you guys.
Very good point, Casey.
Yeah. You know, I'm just here to support.
I think you got a really good point there.
Well, I think, yes, Casey makes some really good points about Cop Out. How you should come see us play.
You guys are often talking about radical ideas. Yeah.
Al took the mic from you, so I think you have a lot of great things to say.
No, but Al did take the mic from her. No, I think that for some people they are using political activism as like a way to entertain themselves. But I think for a lot of people, they see. I mean, like, when can you remember in your lifetime that there was like such enthusiasm about like an in the streets political moment than over the summer? Like, what the organizers of Black Lives Matter were able to do in cities all across this country was like nothing short of a miracle. And I think that seeing the power of that kind of activism is going to feel inspiring for a lot of people. And I don't think that you can flip that switch back off.
Yeah.
I know that we have like disparate opinions about voting and elected officials, and that's not really even the point and anyone's trying to make, but I do think that like people are, I think the illusion of safety and security has sort of been like ripped from people's eyes. People have this idea, you know, I think people hold conflicting views of the government. It's not worth getting into, but I think that just like seeing a system that people felt very comfortable in, like you were saying, completely disavow any responsibility. You know, people thought, well, I'm middle class. I'm a hard worker. I'm not one of those lazy folks in the city or whatever they think about New York. You know, this could never happen to me. I mean, it's why people in the rest of the country didn't give a shit in March, because they were like, well, those gross homosexual heathens out in New York City are all dying of this because they're just up to something nasty and it's never going to come to North Dakota or whatever the fuck they were thinking.
Yeah.
And I forgot what I was going to say.
It's a podcast.
But I think that like they thought I did everything right. I'm living my wholesome Christian values out here in the middle of nowhere where I don't see any fucking people. So how would I get a communicable respiratory illness? And if I did, I have a safety net. Yeah. I have a job. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that what we're doing out here is wrong because Jesus told them that it's not right or whatever. I'm getting a little off message, but I think that people.
What?
People are gonna. The point is that people are gonna be reflecting on these ideas. They're not just gonna dissipate.
I think people are realizing that what they thought was keeping them safe doesn't give a fuck about them. Jesus does not care about you, which is why you're getting COVID at church, and the government doesn't give a fuck about you, which is why it's letting you lose your home.
Yeah.
So the two things that you felt so safe and secure in, and your job, you thought that your plant was going to keep you on forever and you were going to retire there. Well, it turns out none of them care about you. God, religion, or your fucking job. No one cares about you. And who do you turn to? You need, like, all you have at that is your friends and your family. All you have is your community, ultimately.
Yeah. I think that that's a huge part of why I think the motion from Occupy to these protests, where there is like a continuity there. Obviously, it's different. But I think that there's an element of people realizing that they're not. There's a large section of people who've never realized this before in this country and realize that there is no future for them in like maintaining a status quo life. And I think that that's a positive thing. You know, I think it's a positive thing for there to be people who are putting the collective community and justice above their personal like safety net. You know, so I think that that's something that did come to fruition in all this. And it's like something inside of what you're talking about. Yo. So, quick fire questions. 2021 predictions on these topics. You have, let's say, 3 seconds. Is that a long time or like not too much?
I guess it depends what the question is.
I mean, people who listen to this podcast realize that we don't have any concept of time, so let's just do whatever we want. Let's say less than 10 seconds. I'll give you a topic. I have a list of topics here in front of me. It's a long list. We'll get through a couple of them. I give you a topic, and you give me 2021 predictions. All right?
Okay.
Topic number one, North Korea.
You want a 10-second opinion about North Korea?
Just 2021, not the whole thing. You know, just a quick.
North Korea? Yeah.
Casey, get on there. We don't have all the 10 seconds,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's
pass.
It.
Pass. No.
I think North Korea stays just where it is.
Okay, North Korea stays where it is. Okay, all right. Climate change.
Oh, we're fucked.
Well, there. Okay, all right. This
a
is
10-second answer.
That was less than 3 seconds, even.
I wrote a song about climate change last night, actually.
Sing it. We have 10 seconds. Go
no, no,
do
no,
the
we
whole
can't.
Thing.
It's way too long.
We didn't bring the backing track either.
Yeah. I want 10 seconds on... I can't even read my own handwriting here. It's so embarrassing. It's so poorly written. What's that?
I wanted to see if I could read it.
Oh, can you read that?
Yeah. I think it's... Nope.
10 seconds. You can't even read it in 10
yeah.
seconds.
Well...
All right. Medicare for all.
Hopeful, but not optimistic.
Casey?
I'm for it.
You guys can give me some. You want to take the list and give me a couple? I'll give you some.
I was trying to read your list.
You can just come up with your own list. It's okay.
Socialism.
Yeah, socialism.
I think that we're going to have a whole lot of people who are going to become socialists in the very near future, including and possibly almost certainly Joe Biden. He's going to come. He's actually might become straight up communist. Most likely.
That's more than 10 seconds. It has to
that
be.
That was literally
it was a very
6 seconds.
So you have a Joey Steele says, most likely Joe Biden will become a communist.
Almost certainly.
In his 80s. Not too late.
Casey, do you have a topic that you want us to make sure we cover in 2021?
Live music?
Yeah.
Never liked it. Never going to come back. It's done. 2022, maybe.
You really don't think there's going to be live music back in 2021?
Oh, we're doing real things?
No, yeah, okay, I am curious because I really want to go to Riot Fest this year.
Joe Biden might not become a communist. That was a joke.
Might not.
Yeah.
But there's still a possibility.
Kamala Harris might more likely become an actual police officer. That's an actual real not joke either. I think there will not be live music in any serious way in 2021. No, I don't think there will be. I don't think we're going to see anything but like mega shows. Like, you know, Jon Bon Jovi might do a tour with like Eric Clapton or something like that.
Eric
I don't know.
Clapton.
I have to make a joke. Eric Clapton is just a bag of mollusks playing guitar music.
Eric Clapton, if people don't know this, is like a terrible human being. And
Clapton.
And whatever.
His name's Clapton.
What is his name?
Clapton.
Clapton?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think so. press one if you think his name is Eric Clapton.
Clapton.
He is a terrible human being. He's a human person. Human animal. Well, he's not a clam.
He's terrible, and his name's definitely what I said, whatever it was. Doesn't even matter. But I feel like Jon Bon Jovi is like the equal opposite side of him. You know, like he's a Democratic version of whatever.
You're
like,
a Bon Jovi head?
No, I'm not. They're both horrible people. Like, both entirely moderate nonsense, but they're both like nerds and boring.
Casey just said that she thought Bon Jovi was dead.
Oh, yeah, he might be dead. I don't know.
He's like 45 years old.
No, he just came out with a... Sadly, I've had to listen to a lot of NPR in this last period, and I know that Jon Bon Jovi has put out a record in this quarantine. So I'm sure he's going to be touring. And I think that though, in all reality, I think those mega shows will happen because the stadiums are going to be there and they need to be filled, and they're just losing money and they want to get that economy going. But like live music for us, like which is just like a small gig in like a small city with like a medium size theater or whatever, I don't think those are going to. First of all, I think a lot of them are gone.
Yeah,
I think they're just literally closed up. I think the promoters who would do things like punk music are literally they had to do something else and they've closed up their businesses and they just haven't made money in an entire year. So I think a lot of them are actually gone and they're not going to come back.
Right.
So, and I think a lot of those, I know a lot of those venues that used to do kind of our size shows are gone too. So I don't think that's just going to switch back on. And even if they do, from what I understand, like there's no way for the economic side of it to function. So like, a small band, like let's say, I don't know these people. We played with them once, but like this is the first band that popped into my head for whatever reason, because I guess I talked about Kamala Harris before, but like, Bad Cop, Bad Cop.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
If Bad Cop, Bad Cop were playing, which is like a great fucking band, incredibly talented people, but they're not selling out stadiums, right? They're just like...
Not yet. But when they do...
Well, there's no way for them
to... Copoutpunks at gmail.com. We'd love to open for you. We'll roadie all your shit.
But there's no way for them to get guarantees right now. So like... Even a band.
Well, there's also no way. I mean, their fans aren't going to have any merch money. Like, people aren't going to, you know, whatever. Sorry to cut you off.
No, exactly. Well, I mean, from what I understand, promoters who do exist and the venues that do exist, they are not making any contracts with anybody. So no one can really plan any tours if they're actual working musicians, because there's no guaranteed money anywhere.
And you do that about a year out anyway. So they would be doing that for 2021 now.
Right. And they're not, I know it's not happening. Right. I know for a fact it's not happening. Like bands that are even big, like the Interrupters or something like that, they're not getting, no one's getting guarantees.
Again, love the Interrupters. That's Copoutpunks, PUNX at gmail.com.
I fucking love you guys. Great. I love both those bands. Attitude Adjusters, Joey Steele and Attitude Adjusters opened for Bad Cop, Bad Cop and Interrupters when they came, like, I don't know, 5-6 years ago or whatever. It's fucking fantastic tour. But not since then. I don't know what the hell they've been doing. Probably nothing. Waiting for us to tour with them.
But wait no longer. We're ready.
2021, I don't think there's going to be any functional live music in 2021.
Well, let me just say, we, Casey and I, have tickets to Riot Fest. So we're very excited for the lineup, so we hope that they honor those tickets. And if they are interested, they can reach us at copoutpunks at gmail.com. We're going anyway. We're all going to be there.
Al really lucked out, because I told him that I was going to break up with him in 2020 if you guys didn't get on the bill for Riot Fest, but then the whole world... turned to shit. So yeah, so he got lucky.
Casey, you're hired as our manager from now on.
Like, I do need a job. Good.
It doesn't pay, actually. Oh. I don't know if you heard that part of the podcast where I said there's no money, but you know, that's fine. I'm sure you can get money from something else. But you're hired.
Thank you.
Okay, well, you know, I feel like there's positive things. I feel like there are positive things. We didn't talk about them, but no. I think there are positive things.
That might
happen. How bad could it possibly be? Worst case scenario. We'll end on this. Worst case scenario.
COVID-20.
Like, yeah. 2021. All right. So we got two more COVIDs coming?
Well, we're past the point of COVID-20. I mean, I suppose this one is COVID-19 and 20. So COVID-21.
Is COVID-19 designate the year or the number of COVID?
The year. I think there's like a numeral number of COVIDs are just like iterations of.
I thought there were 18 other COVIDs.
It's an acronym.
That's what I thought this entire fucking time.
No, it's the year.
Wow. Well, fucking learn something new every day.
All those people still going to their mega churches. No, I have more points to make about religion. And New Jersey.
I only gave one microphone to these two, and they have Casey has just been like wrenching it out of Al's hand. It's fine.
She keeps handing it to me, though.
She does.
Then regretting it.
Worst case scenario, Al. 20, they, new
all
COVID.
These people who think they're immune keep going to their mega churches and passing back and forth. It mutates into something insane. Mm. Then we get the vaccine. The mutation adapts to the vaccine, and we're fucked.
It's like a gonorrhea COVID hybrid.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
Yep.
For sure.
I feel like y'all need to stop watching horror movies. No. That's kind of what's happening here.
Did you see the beach house or whatever it was? Yeah, watch the Beach House and not feel negative about 2021, folks. I think that's the name of the movie. It's on
Shudder.
It's on Al's Shudder account.
If you need Al's Shudder login, just email trashyokavapunks.
I was trying to watch the Mortician's book or whatever, story, and I turned it on, and you'd already watched it.
I watched it, yeah.
And
Al lets me use his Shudder account. Thank you very much, Al.
Yeah, it's called Friendship. Look it up. Thanks, Alec. It's so I was rewinding it, and I went to play it, and it had this – the whole screen was this, like, block. It was, like, an HTML code or something. It took up the whole screen. I was like, what the fuck did Joey do to my goddamn Shudder account? And I was about to text you to be like, what has happened? And then I realized it was, like, they must have loaded the captions file in incorrectly because Casey has the caption on television. That was a boring story.
Joey gets blamed for it.
But I did realize it wasn't your fault. And before I blamed you externally.
I did, actually.
You almost got your privileges taken
away. Wow. But for real, though. Yeah, I think a mega illness is a very good possibility. I'm going to take the vaccine because I don't really care if I get sicker. It doesn't like matter to me. I'm super down with the possibility. Use me as a test dummy. I don't care. But I think that like it is a real reality that no vaccine has been done in less than 5 years. Like, isn't that the truth? Like, no one has ever, no scientist, some formulation of whatever those people are who make these drugs, has ever done anything in less than 5 years. And this is like 1 year, scientist quotes. Who knows? Who actually knows about these things?
This is 1 year. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that like that is one of the concerns. But you know what they're saying, and I guess I have no way of knowing this to be true, but is that like everyone's focus was like singularly directed at this issue, and that's why it's happened so quickly. I will also be taking the vaccine when they make it available to me, because I believe in science, for the record. But I do think there is a lot that we don't know about it.
I've been making a bunch of like fake frontline worker and elderly profiles on Facebook to try and get me in the door for the vaccine if you want some.
When you get there.
Well, I mean, they're not going to see my face. They're just going to see
like
my arm.
It's catfishing in a totally different way.
Totally. It's like effective, useful, functional, healthy catfishing.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
You should pitch that idea to MTV.
Vaccine catfishing?
How many vaccines can Joey get?
I'm going to take three. Because there's like three
right
iterations. Like three iterations of it. I'm going to take all three of them.
Well, I don't think you
which
get
is what you're saying is going
to
be like the new gonorrhea type vaccine, right?
Well, you can't choose which one you get.
How do you know?
They've been saying it.
I'm going to choose all three. I'm not going to choose one of them I'm going
to
get.
You're going to go to the Walgreens, mm-hmm. Duane Reade or whatever, and that place is only going to have one of the options.
And then I'm going to go to another one and get another vaccine.
I don't think.
Why
would
I do that?
Godspeed.
You're talking down to me like this is not real. Like, everybody is going to do that. Like, everyone is going to get all three of these
vaccines.
Do you
think that we're all going to be mutants after that then?
If
you get a mutation, like an X-Men mutation, mm-hmm. after getting all three vaccines, I will be so jealous.
It's probably going to happen.
What will your power be?
I mean, my new power?
Yeah.
What will my new power be?
What is both your current power and your new power?
It's probably going to be something dumb like Cyclops' power. Like, that's such a dumbass power. Like, oh, I can see laser beams? What the fuck is... It's the dumbest fucking power. Like, your dumbass glasses, those makes you look fucking stupid.
Press one if you think Cyclops sees laser beams.
And there's no
power.
Way that Jean Grey would, like, who's, like, the most powerful being in Marvel, would, like, be cool with this, like, nerdy fucking laser-eyed
douche. That is a good point. That Jean Grey would absolutely not marry Cyclops.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
So stupid, but that would be my superpowers. Like, I'd be stuck with like a dumb fucking Cyclops or Archangel. Like, what a fucking.
Yeah.
I had metal fucking wings.
Well, he had feathers
idiot.
Wings, but then he.
Yo, stupid powers, dude. Stupid.
But Archangel
powers.
Can fly.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with those wings? Sometimes you need to, like, go into a car. You know,
right.
Like. You need to be in a building. Like, you have fucking wings. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I always just stupid.
I've never seen a bird inside of a building. It is actually legitimately one of my favorite things is to see pigeons inside of buildings.
Well, to
Alex when he sees them at airports, because what is it doing there?
Obviously, it's fucking trying to figure out what the hell's wrong with you people. Like, they fly all the time,
right.
And now you're, like, getting in on their territory. So they're, obviously, they're pigeon scientists trying to figure out what the fuck you're doing.
So
they're researchers.
There human scientists?
Do you even
only
talk to these
scientists.
Pigeons or you just look at them?
Good point, Joey.
Like, they're doing research.
No, yeah,
they're trying
true.
To come up with
that's
vaccines
true.
For
But
us.
You didn't, but... Yeah, I think you did answer the question. I got lost on your tangent.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
Stupid laser beams.
What power he has currently.
Oh, that's right. What? Yeah.
What do you mean? You're my friend. You don't know what my powers are?
Nope.
Like, what the fuck
unclear.
Is wrong? You should be. It should be very, very clear.
Yeah.
Glass bones.
First of all,
Mr. Glass.
My hands and my feet break at the slightest provocation, but my skull is like steel. Like, I have put this thing through walls.
Samuel Jackson did a great job portraying you.
I don't have glass bones. Like, I got run over by a car and break my foot the other day.
That wasn't the other day. That was months ago.
my skull is like, they have these like bones in from Viking people, and they're like super thick and like they couldn't lift their heads off the ground. Like, they must have just been like walking with like their head dragging on the floor. These bones are so thick. Like, my skull is basically there. It's like
mostly
it's just,
bones.
It's just my brain is filled with air, so it keeps it up.
Yeah,
yeah. This is one of my
science,
superpowers.
Science. Yeah.
That science that the penguins, the pigeons?
Yeah.
Pigeons?
Penguins, you sound ridiculous.
Yeah, I know, I do. You're right. Fuck, man.
All right. So, Casey, you need to tell us what your horror story possibilities are for 2021. That's where we were before you took us on this tangent.
That this podcast is still happening.
It's possible. I think that's it. All right, yeah. Well, that's it. Thank you very much, Casey, for being a fucking bummer in the end there.
Get down. We'll see. I didn't get to say it.
We'll see you all in hell in 2021. Casey, please do the honors.
Get down. Oh, I don't think you heard that. Get down. That's why I don't get to say it. Get down.
All right, let's take another break. Let's listen to another tune. This is a tune from our band All Torn Up. We released a 7-inch this year called Wake. One of the tunes on that record was a song called The Lotus Eaters. For me, it is a particularly profound song for 2020. I've thought a lot about the content that we wrote in that song. I think it has a lot of implications on the things we see around us and some of the grief we've gone through and how we need to be moving forward in 2021. The song, I think, at its core is really about addiction. And it's really about how capitalism, capitalists, consciously or unconsciously, I'm not trying to get into any conspiracy bullshit, but I think capitalists thrive and depend on our addictions. They need us to be addicted to things so that we are distracted from seeing the power that we all have and seeing the potential we all have. And I just think that's important for us to not blame ourselves for those addictions and not blame each other for those addictions, because they're real. They have real implications, and we need to get underneath them and see that there is a common source, a common need, or a common neglect, maybe, is a better way to look at it, that pushes us to have these things. And anyway, this is me and us trying to speak to that issue a little bit. And it is a little too raw to speak to directly, so we sort of used some thoughts from the Odyssey, from that classic, the Odyssey, to help sort of get to it. So here's a song from All Torn Up, from our band All Torn Up, on our record Wake. And it's called The Lotus Eaters. I hope you dig it. Get down.
Seen too much surrender. Battle lethargy. Who was come home inside a real enemy.
That's the end of the episode. I want to say thank you to Al and Casey for getting down with us. They came from a very long distance to help us do these episodes. I really appreciate them making the trek over here to do that and having such thoughtful contributions to help us get a grip on all of this grief that has happened in 2020 and all the things we need to be getting down with in 2021. I couldn't imagine two better people to be talking to and moving forward into this next phase of our lives than these two people. I hope everybody out there is meeting up with the people they think are core to their lives, because this year has been so difficult, so isolating, and we've been living in this weird bubble, you know, that that we've all pushed ourselves into or been pushed into or whatever, however you want to put it. And we've lost touch with not only those people around us, but who we really are. So I hope you're taking some time to meet up with those people who you think are closest to you, who you really consider part of your community, and talking to them about who you really want to be moving forward. Because I think we've lost touch with that person. Not only other people have we lost touch with, we've lost touch with ourselves. In this isolation, we've forgotten what is truly important to us. I think community is central to that, even while some of us aren't aware of it or cognizant of it in some ways. I think that community is core to us. I especially think that's true for punks. I think that's true for me. I think that's true for a lot of people listening to this podcast. You know, Al and Casey are people I see every week of my life. Most of the time, Al is someone I see every day of my life. And, you know, for me, meeting up with those two folks and having this conversation is really important. Not only because I think it's helpful to other people to get some perspective on where they are and what they're doing, but also for me personally, getting a grip on who I am means talking to the people I think are most important to me and can help, you know, bring me back to reality from this fucking crazy nightmare that we've been living in 2020. That isolation, we can't underestimate how impactful it's been on our lives. So please try to reach out to those folks. I know it can be weird and difficult because we have been so isolated and maybe we haven't talked to people as much as we'd like to. And maybe that's something we need to talk to them about. But please reach out to those people who you think are core to who you are, people who you think are core to your community, and talk to them about who you are together and where you want to go together. And make some plans to try to break yourselves out of this bubble. I think that's important to do. And I hope that the conversation we had on this podcast is evident that's what we're trying to do as well. I want to say deeply thank you to Al and Casey for being so true and close to me. They are such wonderful friends, but also without them, I wouldn't be making the music I'm making, and I'm sure I wouldn't be making this podcast either, because community is essential to what we do here at Dispatchers from Underground, and they are a core part of that. So thank you very much for this episode, but also for everything in life that you do for me as people. I also want to say thank you to a bunch of people who make this podcast happen. G-Fresh and Lauren, they are not on the episode constantly, but I'm constantly thanking them because without them, this podcast would not be possible. They do a lot of work behind the scenes to make this podcast happen. So I want to say thanks to G-Fresh and Lauren for their constant efforts to make Dispatch from the Underground what it is today. I really appreciate them very, very much. I can't say enough about how much I appreciate them. I want to say thank you to my loving wife, Christine, my roommate, Soren from All Torn Up, both of whom I don't talk about very often on this podcast, but without whom, again, Dispatch from the Underground would not function and happen. So thank you both very much. I want to say thank you to Gabe and Mark and Casey and Ian and Nikki, and I didn't make a list in front of me, but people who have contributed financially, contributed in ideas to help make this podcast happen. Their support and their encouragement is constant, and I really appreciate not only financially what they do to help this podcast work and function, but also in ideas, constantly giving me feedback and thoughts, and that's something that's very encouraging, because, you know, we've been doing this podcast now for almost 10 years. I think they were going into our 10th year, and I'm constantly thinking about quitting doing this podcast. And if it wasn't for these folks and folks all around the country who are messaging me on Facebook at Dispatch from the Underground, or hitting me up on email dftunderground@gmail.com, or hitting me up on Instagram at Joey Steele NYC. If it wasn't for people constantly hollering at me that they appreciate what we're doing here, that they're getting something out of it, even the people who are pissed off about something we said on the episode, the fact that people are engaging those ideas, the fact that people are getting some perspective out of it, that's why we do this podcast. We think it's fun. We enjoy doing it, but also I think that other people think it's fun, but also because there are important ideas that we need to be getting down with. Radical shit, fun shit, silly shit, things that we disagree with. We need to be getting down with all of these ideas in order to help challenge our perspective, to get our minds right, to get our bodies to do what they need to be doing. And I think Dispatch from the Underground does that very well. And I appreciate all those folks out there who are constantly contributing to us, donating to us, giving us their money and their ideas to help make this podcast happen. Thank you all very much. If you dig what we do, please understand that we have no advertising budget. It's just a dude with a microphone, really, who makes this podcast. So if you dig what we do, please continue to share this podcast with your friends. Go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com. There's a donation section. There's a merch section. You can get a bunch of the records that you heard tunes from on this episode this week. There's also a subscription section on that website. Make sure you stay tuned because we got some great shit planned for 2021. In fact, I want to end this episode with a tune from someone we will feature again in 2021. This is from an incredible musician here in New York City, Pansy. They were on an episode recently where we talked about the elections. They had a ton of great perspective. I thought they were a fantastic guest. I can't wait to have them on the podcast again. Pansy just released a tune on their Bandcamp page in November, pansyrose.bandcamp.com. PansyRose.bandcamp.com. Here is their new tune, Sagittarius, which is available for free download on their Bandcamp page. So check it out here and then go get it. And whatever happens in 2021, the main thing, the most important thing is don't forget to get down.